Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Etad vam darshitam rupam. Prag janma smaranaya me. Nanyatam adbhavam jnanam. Martya linge na jayate. Etad vam darshitam rupam. Prag janma smaranaya me. Nanyatam adbhavam
jnanam.
Martya lingena jayate.
Martya lingena jayate.
Etat. This form of Vishnu.
This form of Vishnu.
Vam. Unto both of you.
Unto both of you.
Darshitam.
Darshitam.
Has been shown.
Has been shown.
Rupam. My form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead with four hands.
My form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead with four arms.
Prak janma.
Prak janma.
Of my previous appearances.
Of my previous appearances.
Smaranaya.
Smaranaya.
Just to remind you.
Just to remind you.
Me.
Me.
My.
My.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Anyata,
anyata,
otherwise,
otherwise.
Matbhava,
matbhava,
Vishnu's appearance,
Vishnu's appearance.
Jnanam,
jnanam,
this transcendental knowledge,
this transcendental knowledge.
Martyalingena,
martyalingena,
by taking birth like a human child,
by taking birth like a human child.
Jayate,
jayate,
does arise.
Does arise.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. I have shown you this form of Vishnu just to remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appeared like an ordinary child, you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has indeed appeared. Purport. Devaki did not need to be reminded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared as her son. She had already accepted this. Nonetheless, she was anxious, thinking that if her neighbors heard that Vishnu had appeared as her son, none of them would believe it. Therefore, she wanted Lord Vishnu to transform himself into a human child. On the other hand, the Supreme Lord was also anxious, thinking that if he appeared as an ordinary child, she would not believe that Lord Vishnu had appeared. Such are the dealings between devotees and the Lord. The Lord deals with his devotees exactly like a human being. But this does not mean that the Lord is one of the human beings. For this is the conclusion of non-devotees. Avajananti mam buddha manushim tanumashritam. The devotees know that the personality of Godhead under any circumstances. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The Lord says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship me. A non-devotee cannot believe that simply by thinking of one person, one can achieve liberation from this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. But this is a fact. The Lord comes as a human being, and if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. Actually, all that's required is to fix our minds on Krishna. To be confident that if we have any needs, He'll provide them. If we have any problems, He can resolve them. This is dependence on Krishna. Sharanagati. That's all that's required. All the rituals, all the disciplines are only meant for achieving that consciousness of dependence and reliance on Krishna. It's only Krishna that can be truly relied upon. Ego bahunam yo vididati kama. He is the only one among all living beings who is capable of providing for the needs and desires of all of the others. And He's willing to do it, and He's always active in trying to take care of His devotees. And through His devotees, take care of everybody else. The demigods are among His devotees, and the demigods are taking care of the non-devotees. Everyone's taken care of by Krishna. Eko bahunam yo vididati kaman. One who's supplying all necessities and all luxuries, extra desires. We have basic needs and we have luxury desires. But Krishna's providing for both. There are so many opulences in this world available, in the material world, on all different planets. Vasudev divibhuti binam, the earth, and what does speak of the earth? There are higher regions where there are opulences we cannot imagine. Rich people in Delhi and in Bombay, they spend up to a crore or two or three to buy a fancy apartment. They have a nice car. They're living in a rich neighborhood, where they can go to the fancy shopping malls, and they think they've achieved the perfection of life. But this is nothing. Your cheap shopping malls, where you can buy some trinkets and rags, yeah, at expensive prices. There's nothing compared to the opulences available on the heavenly planets, which you cannot even imagine. You're satisfied to work a stupid job, you know, as a so-called professional, to make 15,000-20,000 rupees a month and live what you think is a nice lifestyle. And this is just imitation of the Western countries where they're even more into materialism. But the opulence, the luxuries available on this planet, even to the richest and most successful person, are very petty compared to the opulences found on other planets. Other realms of the material universe. All these opulences are provided by Krishna, either directly or indirectly, usually through His agents. The material things are usually provided through Krishna's agents. He doesn't get involved in the dispensing of material assets. Just like the president of the bank doesn't count every 100 rupee note. He has people who work, you know, for a low salary to sit there and count the money. He doesn't have to, the president of the bank doesn't have to do that. Similarly, Krishna doesn't dispense, you know, give out the little material benefits. He has some peon, some demigod, do that for him. But this is all the realm of ignorance. From the top to the bottom, it's all foolishness. One simply suffers one problem after another in material life. Even if you have a simple life without problems, you still have to encounter the problems of birth, disease, old age, and death. The only solution, the only way out of this dilemma is to think, to become fully absorbed in the thought of Krishna and actually become his devotee. Manmana bhavamad bhaktaha. Then everything is provided in a different way. One is provided all spirit. Krishna personally brings all spiritual assets. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. For the devotees who always thinking about me, chintayanto mam. Krishna is not so impressed with the rituals. What he wants is the meditation. He wants us to be conscious of him. So this is not the International Society for Opulent Puja. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You know, our business is not just building temples and putting on a big show of worship, because that's good business in India. You can make a fortune, you know, having a temple with an attractive deity and fancy worship. You can make loads of money that way. But that's not our business. That's not the business that was established by Srila Prabhupada. Just building big temples and raking in money. That's not our business. That's secondary. Our business is to think about Krishna and to encourage other people to think about Krishna. And if it takes fancy temples and robot shows to encourage people to think about Krishna, okay. But only for that purpose. Our business is Krishna consciousness. That's all that people need to do. You know, robots and, you know, opulent meals and fancy clothes won't make you happy. You can have all the disposable income you want and have access to the world's most wonderful shopping places, but you cannot buy happiness. Happiness and satisfaction is to be found by being absorbed in thought of Krishna. And then Krishna personally provides. You don't even have to get in your car and drive to the shopping mall. Yogakshemam vahamyaham. I come to your door and I personally deliver everything you want and everything you need. You don't even have to place an order. You don't even have to, you know, get onto the internet and make a, you know, a email order of what you want. You don't even have to think about it. Krishna will personally come to your door and bring you everything you need. Just like the story of the hunter, Meghadi, Narada was trying to convince him to give up this sinful occupation taught to him by his father of shooting animals and leaving them half dead, you know, tortured and gradually dying. Narada said, "You give this up. This is sinful. You'll go to hell if you continue." And the hunter said, "Well, if I give it up, how will I find my food?" And Narada told him, "Don't worry about that. I'll come personally and bring you your food. I'll arrange for it. I'll send food to you." He didn't say, "I'll bring it." He said, "I'll send it to you." Narada actually didn't know how he was going to do this, but he made the promise. And he figured, well, Krishna could figure something out. You know, how can I come back here every day, you know, bringing him, you know, rice and dal and sabjis? I have other things to do. I'm supposed to be traveling around the universe. But anyway, I'll make the promise. Krishna will arrange something. And what happened was the people in the village were astonished that this hunter had changed, transformed into a Vaishnava. And they all wanted to come and take his darshan. Every day, many people would come. And they would bring food, rice, dal, sabjis, and leave them as gifts. And he had a house full of food, he could, you know, more than he could use. So some months later, Narada was traveling in the neighborhood with his friend Parvat Muni. And he said, "I have a disciple here, down here in the forest. Why don't you, you know, let's go see him." And they went to see And the hunter thanked Narada. Thank you very much. I don't know how you do it, but you're sending me all this food every day. So Narada just, you know, scratches his head and says, okay, I'm glad you're getting your food. Krishna arranges it. Krishna arranged as a super soul that the people of the village provided everything. And so we should be confident that if we turn our attention away from all our, what we think are our big important material problems and our material ambitions, forget all of them and just be absorbed in thinking about Krishna. And while we're in this world, we're sort of limited about what kind of intimate loving service we can do to Krishna while still in these material bodies. You know, in this ugly bag of stool, I can't join the rasa dance or join Krishna in the forest with this ugly body. So what, you know, I'm a little bit limited what service I can do for Krishna. I like to sing for Krishna, but my, you know, my voice sounds like a frog. So what do? You know, we try to do some service for Krishna, whatever we can. We try to think about him, but our minds are disturbed and foggy. And it's not easy for us to remember Krishna. Our hearts are dirty. And real remembrance of Krishna doesn't come from the mind, it comes from the heart. And if my heart is dysfunctional, I'm full of envy, lust, and greed. How can that heart manifest real meditation on Krishna? So I'm limited. I'm constrained. I'm, you know, crippled spiritually. I can't really engage in the deep meditation, loving meditation on Krishna. So at least let me do something practical. While I'm still in this body, and I've still got a dirty heart and a dysfunctional mind, let me use my arms, my legs, and whatever brains I do have working, the 1% of my brain that is functioning, let me use it to do something useful for the glorification and the pleasure of Krishna. Therefore, we're engaged in active service, mainly because we're not, in our present condition, very fit to just think about Krishna. Krishna's first recommendation to Arjuna is Mayeva Mana Adhatsva. Just fix your mind completely on me. If we could do that, we would not have any other obligations. You know, the temple commander would approach you and say, okay, I'm sorry, you're engaged in 24-hour meditation. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. You know, I can see that you're in samadhi. But until we reach that stage, we have to be engaged in practical service. Because that's our connection with Krishna. We can't think about him the way he's asking us. So therefore, we have to do something for him. Better, it's something directly for the purpose of promoting Sankirtan. We could do something indirectly. We could do our business and then offer some money or offer a few minutes a month, you know, of service. But why not be directly engaged full-time in the promotion of Lord Chaitanya's mission? Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship me. Ata chittam samadhatum. Nashok shaknoshi maistiram abhyasa yogena tato mami chaptum dhananjaya. If you can't think about me deeply and without deviation, I mean, if you can't fix your mind on me and you're distracted, then okay, practice the regulated principles of bhakti yoga. That will purify your mind and heart, so that you will develop an intense desire to be spontaneously engaged in my loving service. Devaki didn't need to be reminded that Vishnu was her son. She has natural, spontaneous love for him. Although she has some attraction to his opulence, still she has a very intimate relationship with him. Therefore, she's now asking him to put aside this Narayan appearance and now appear the way he's supposed to. He's a newborn infant. Newborn infant is supposed to look a different way. And so she's asking Krishna to assume that appearance. And then Krishna is going to ask his father, now take me away from here. I'll come back later. But for now, I have pastimes to perform in Vrajadham. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes, there is.
Can you elaborate on the concept that remembrance of Krishna comes from the heart rather than the mind?
Atak Shri Krishna Nam Adi Nobhaved Grahyam Indriyai. Padma Purana, quoted by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasami Tisindra. Krishna's name and all the other qualities of Krishna are not material objects that can be perceived by the material mind and senses. Or as stated in the Upanishads, Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Material words cannot describe the absolute truth, and the material mind cannot understand him. Material senses cannot approach him. So when I say the heart and not the mind, I mean it's the spiritual perception must be there. Actually, you can argue that the heart and the mind are not really different. The same word manas is used for both in Sanskrit. But what the real distinction we're making is between the material mind and the spiritual mind. With our presently materially conditioned mind, we cannot properly engage in smaranam. Shravanam and kirtanam we can begin immediately, because the ear is very attentive. Even when you're asleep, it doesn't go to sleep. You know, the ear, the sense of hearing doesn't go to sleep. If there's some startling noise, you'll wake up, unless you're really in the mode of ignorance. But if someone shouts, fire, fire, and there's a big commotion, hopefully you'll wake up. And it's not your eyes that perceive that, but the ears. So the sense of hearing is very acute. By hearing about Krishna, our spiritual mind... Well, anyway, the process of hearing can begin almost immediately, because the spiritual sense of hearing begins to wake up as soon as we hear the pure vibration. But the spiritual mind is very heavily covered. It's practically, it's not so easy to wake up the spiritual mind, because the material mind is so active and so making so much noise. There's so much static noise coming from the material wavelengths that we cannot even begin yet to tune in to the wavelengths of the spiritual consciousness. So our spiritual minds really can't begin functioning yet. We have to undergo quite a bit of pacification of the mind. We have to shut up all this noise, turn it down, way down. And then we can begin to think spiritually. Hearing spiritually, that's relatively easy. That can be done from the very beginning. As long as you're hearing pure vibration, it goes into you and it has its effect. And you can also repeat, even without full realization, even when you don't even know what you're talking about. If you repeat faithfully, it has effect. Of course, better you do know what you're talking about. But even if you just repeat, even a parrot can repeat. And it has some effect. A parrot chanting Hare Krishna may have some effect. Yeah. But the remembrance, the function of the spiritual mind, that can only really be begun when the mind is very purified. You have to go through the yoga stages up to dharana, fixing the mind on one point. And the point has to be Krishna, not something impersonal. That's an advanced stage of meditation. Only then can you really begin smaranam. So, don't worry about the difference between mind and heart. It's the difference between spiritual mind and material mind and spiritual mind.
it's not related to this, but it was with respect to free will. There was this one story that says that Ramanujacharya threw something into the water when he was going with his disciples, and the fish that ate his Mahaprasada immediately assumed Vishnu forms and left the body. And he gave the explanation to his disciples that they don't have free will, and you exercise your free will, hence the effect of the Mahaprasada doesn't happen. So how does
that? I don't know. Did everybody hear that?
I heard that Ramanuja said that that these fish are innocent, they don't commit offences. You know, we may be doing spiritual activity for them.
So we take Mahaprasada and we're committing offences, therefore we don't get the effect. But animals don't commit offences? Yes?
They're not held responsible for their karma.
Right. Yeah, but they also lack understanding and faith. So I don't think it's, you know, I don't know how to explain that story. I mean, the normal situation that we've been told by Prabhupada is an animal gets prasadam, he gets a human birth, not immediate liberation. That's not the norm. You know, because animals have qualifications. Maybe they lack the offensive behavior and thought of human beings, but they also have other disqualifications. They are in the mode of ignorance, and therefore they don't have intelligence to understand anything. No. And they have other bad qualities that go along with being in the mode of ignorance. So I can't really explain that then.
Isn't it that sometimes like animals in holy places, they do take birth as the last birth because of some offense?
Yes.
So, like some little beings which just take birth as a because of some offense in some place, and just we have to also like a term stay in that body and then just get to all the side.
Right, but those are special.
Yes.
Also, they were advanced human beings in the life before that. They were yogis and so-called sadhus.
So,
and they committed aparads, or they were mayavadis, and then they took another birth as an animal. So it wasn't like they're coming gradually up through all the animal species. They were a well-developed human being, fell down, and then finished their business.
It can be same
case, this was a special case. Of these particular fish were not ordinary fish. There's something special about them. So, I don't know the story. I don't know where it's coming from. The authenticity of the source. And now you're explaining the interpretation of the story. I don't know whose interpretation that is either. So I can't judge it, not knowing where it's coming from.
Because some time back somebody sent it on Pambo.
Yes, somebody sent it, but that's not the authoritative means. It's somebody, on the internet, somebody broadcasted it. But what's the authority of it? Yes.
But
yes.
In our movement, Srila Prabhupada doesn't seem, he seems to stress that one should always be active. It seems like, the concept of being Vaishnava is almost completely, it's almost like looked down upon.
Right, but maybe that's a misunderstanding on our part. Remember, we're coming from heavy Rajogun background. So the way we perceive Prabhupada's instructions may be a little biased. We have a tendency, because Prabhupada didn't want us studying a lot of books and getting distracted, then we think that this movement is supposed to be anti-intellectual, or that we hate meditation and bhajan, and we're just for working. That's not really, I don't think that's what Prabhupada meant. Prabhupada was really speaking specifically to us that you're not ready. You could say that to basically all his disciples, I think. You're not ready to sit down and just meditate, to chant, like Haridas Thakur, and engage in nothing else. You have your passionate natures, and you're still distracted, and you still have some bad qualities. You have to work it out. You have to work for Krishna. That I don't think is it was Prabhupada enunciating a universal principle, that his concept of devotional service is just working. He said, work now, samadhi later. Not that he's against samadhi, but when first we'll prepare for it, when we're ready for it, then we can have the samadhi. That's the goal of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada is a follower of Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das. You know, Raghunath Das was sitting there in Radhakund, meditating. And that is what we're following. Prabhupada published the Upadesha Samrita, you know, encouraging that the devotees are really serious. They could go spend the rest of their life at Radhakunda. But we're not ready for that. It's not that we're against, you know, the bliss of bhajana, but we have to become prepared. And also, the world needs to be saved, and therefore preaching is a first priority, as it was a priority of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu managed to arrange things so that he personally was engaged very deeply in meditation and also preaching. Or at least he spent many years preaching and then sat down in the Gambhira. Yes? Meditation in action and meditation
without action, like meditation on Krishna. So I think that the active meditation.
Well, that's not unbiased thinking. Both of them are appropriate in different circumstances for different persons. Sitting and thinking about Krishna is not inactive. Just like sitting at a computer and doing editing work for the BBT. Is not doing nothing, although the temple devotees may think that these BBT devotees are doing nothing; they're useless. You know, so sitting and meditating, thinking about Krishna, is not doing nothing. It's just you may not appreciate that what it is, how it is doing something, but it is. So, I think that question is based on the false perception that there is that thinking about Krishna is doing nothing. So, someone, for one devotee, it's appropriate that he just sits in a corner 22 hours a day and thinks about Krishna's pastimes. And for another devotee, he shouldn't be running around doing something active. It depends on the person and the circumstances. They're both important.
Yes.
So he was meditating.
Yes.
And he was like.
He may have been also actively serving. We don't know about that, but what's recorded in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is about the meditation he did. Yeah. That's what's glorious. And he may have done some other glorious service. He may have been an active preacher. We don't know. But what's remembered is how he meditated. So for him, that was the most important thing he did for that particular devotee. What's it? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you
wanted to say something. It's been coming that one thing a devotee has told me that the best Vaishnavandi is the Vajranandi who preaches. In other words, sometimes if we're just so fired up about preaching and not giving any time to our internal nourishment of developing Krishna consciousness, we're just so much into external kinds of preaching.
Yes.
That nourishing the heart connection, then then we may not actually have so much to offer people.
Yes.
And we may be going through the externals, but what can we actually offer them? Because we don't have anything in ourselves in our heart.
Yes.
We don't have any so much development.
Yes.
So the best preacher is the Vajranandi who actually has something in his heart, and then he can actually inspire others because he has something to give.
Yes. We're meant to be Vajranandis, at least while we're for the 2 hours, 3 hours we're chanting our rounds. That's our bhajan time. And we should get into it. Yeah. So for 2 hours a day, we're meant to be bhajan anandis. Really? I mean, you should put, you know, business should wait till later. Yeah. It's budget ananda time. Yes? Yes. 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 But you know, we're not each making up our own program. We're trying to work together. So that's Goshtyanandi. Goshtyanandi means getting, you know, working together in a group. So we can, I don't know, you know, if you want everyone to sit down and chant japa together, okay. But otherwise, we can, you know, at least mentally you should be in your own, you know, by yourself when you're chanting. Even if you're physically sitting with everybody else, you should be thinking about what you're chanting, not what about everybody else is doing. We're not Goshtyanandis in the sense that we're all just going off and doing our own thing. Not that kind of ghost, Bhajananandi. We're trying to work together to carry out Prabhupada's mission. Your love for me will be tested by how you cooperate. You know, so maybe if we look down on Bhajananandis, what we're looking down are people who don't want to cooperate. You know, just want to do everything by themselves. This is Sankirtan. Yeah, this is the fascist movement. Yeah, the fascis is a symbol of the Roman Republic. It's a bundle of sticks tied together. The idea of the Republic is that if the people work together, it's like taking these sticks that are could be easily broken by themselves, but if you tie 20 of them together with a string, then it becomes very strong. That's the idea of the fascis. And fascism is supposed to be based on that idea. So we're the real fascists. Hare Krishna. Fascisti. Okay, thank you all. Shri Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.